Are you thinking of leaving corporate, but too afraid to make the move? Have you already escaped corporate, but are finding it hard to run your dream business? Are you wasting valuable time by attempting to figure challenges out on your own? We have created a podcast for corporate escapees running their own business. This is the Corporate Escapees Podcast by Build, Live, Give. We bring you firsthand experiences of guests going through many of the struggles you face each and every day as a corporate escapee. We get real with no corporate BS. And now, over to your host, Paul Higgins.
Welcome to the Corporate Escapee Stories by Build, Live, Give. I'm Paul Higgins, and I'm your show host. And today we've got Pollyanna Lencic. Pollyanna had an amazing career when she left Australia with nothing, went to the UK, and really, as she said, started off with her and a cat and then ended up selling her business that was turning over 11 million pounds a year. And she takes you through that amazing journey and she's got some great insights. She also talks about a skydiving incident where she was just seconds from life and how she recovered from that and how you can take that into your day-to-day life. She also talks about how she manages executive coaching, a side hustle, and her family. She shares incredible wisdom, and it's a brilliant podcast to listen to. So what I'll do now is hand you over to Pollyanna Lencic from Pollyanna Lencic Consulting. I hope you're inspired by listening to our wonderful guest stories. All of our guests know the one ingredient to rapidly grow their dream business. That is picking the right suppliers. Let's face it, it's too hard doing it all on your own. So with this in mind, we have created a free on-demand training which gives you the four essential questions to ask suppliers. I've combined my 18 years experience at Coca-Cola and 7 years advising corporate escapees all over the world to give you actionable advice in less than 25 minutes. Simply go to buildlivegive.com/webinar. If you are tired of underachieving and want to fill gaps in skills, please watch our on-demand training now. The link will also be in the show notes. Please check it out. Welcome, Pollyanna Lencic from Pollyanna Lencic Consulting, to the Corporate Escapees podcast by Build, Live, Give. So, Pollyanna, I know you and I know each other really well, but a lot of our listeners don't know you as well, and that's a great chance, and they're going to have a great chance to get to know you today. But why don't you just start with something that a family or friend member would know about you that our audience wouldn't?
I have done 525 skydives, and I knocked myself out 18,000 feet over a beach in Kenya. So they know that I can be quite clumsy sometimes.
Wow. And how did that play out? So you're
clearly okay. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit tricky there for a while. I smacked my head on a plane. We were doing a formation over Malindi Beach in Kenya. It was the sunset dive, a perfectly wonderful time to jump out of a very good aeroplane. The beach was crowded. The tide was in. There were a lot of children on the beach, obviously watching skydivers coming in, and tourists were watching the formations build because it was clear blue skies in Kenya. And I was there was a whole bunch of skydivers who built a formation on the right, and there was me falling on my own on the left. But what was really interesting, Paul, was I was falling, when we looked at the video post, I was falling completely stable. So we jumped at 18,000 feet, which is much higher than a normal jump. Normally it's 15,000 feet. I felt completely stable. I really came to awareness at 5,000 feet. And then I had 3 seconds to make a decision to save my life, because that's about what you've got. And I knew that there were sharks that had been spotted in the water that day, and landing in the water with a rig is not a smart thing to do or a safe thing to do. The tide had come in, so it was a really narrow landing area, and there were people and obstacles as well as boats, windsurfers, canoes, etc. on the beach. So I decided to pull my chute at 2,000 feet, a little bit lower than usual. Normally it's 2,500. And I couldn't see because my goggles were full of blood because I'd sliced my head open. And I was nauseous, and I was thinking, I wonder if you can vomit in free fall without getting it on yourself. So clearly I wasn't focused on the task initially, because I was thinking about not vomiting in free fall. And then I got it together and I landed. And I often say to people when I talk about this, what saved my life that day. And people sort of say things like confidence, and they'll also say, you know, luck, or, you know, training. And actually what saved my life, none of that, training to a degree, but what saved my life that day was muscle memory. You know, we get so fixated on confidence, and confidence actually doesn't get us anywhere. We don't need confidence to do a whole load of stuff. What we do need to do is practice. So the more skydives I did, the more I knew I had to practice, 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 and practice. So I did student drills before every single jump, and we did 8 jumps a day on holiday. That's what saved my life.
Wow. And when was the last time you skydived?
The last time I skydived was too long ago now. My 14-year-old was 14 months old the last time I jumped, and it's just hard to fit it in. You know, people often like to say you don't jump anymore because you have children. I'm going, no, don't jump anymore because I'm driving around to sports. It's not because I have them. It's I have no time to drive to an airfield. One of my beautiful friends, Charles, gave up skydiving at 92 because the drive to the airfield was getting bothersome. So I've got time.
Brilliant. Well, that's a wonderful story. And I know your corporate escapee story is a little different because you didn't technically escape from corporate, but just tell us a little bit about your background story to help listeners sort of get to where you are now.
Sure. I never escaped because I never joined the corporate world. I'm very, very blessed with amazing clients from the corporate sector. So my main client base is corporate, not-for-profit, government, and I have a percentage of startup clients who find me, which is really wonderful. So I did the Aussie thing. I left Australia at 21 and what was to be a 3-month backpacking holiday. Europe and London. It took me 9 months to get to London, and by the time I got to London, I had already cashed in my ticket and I only had £40 in my pocket. Didn't know anybody and created a life in London from there and stayed there for 17 years. And, you know, when you're away from your normal environment, it has you expand into maybe avenues that, I don't know, would have I done that here? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I pushed myself more being away. And I set up and co-founded my first company when I was 24 with no idea. It was a specialist IT recruitment consultancy. Very humble beginnings, you know, the back bedroom from home. I used to buy taped office noise so that when I was cold calling clients, they thought I was a real business. You could buy that stuff. Of course, there was no internet back then because I'm that old. And I worked on my own for the first 12 to 18 months. We were profitable within 12 months, and then my partner joined me in the business, which he originally set it up but was running it on a part-time basis. So we took that from just me and the cat to then my partner joining the business full-time because he was working part-time on it as well, to a staff of 18, full-time staff, members of 18, plus 110 consultants on various sites in the banking industry in the UK. And from nothing to an £11 million turnover, which was really exciting. So I sold my shareholding in 2000.
Brilliant. And look, you know, it sounds easy just to rattle that off that, you know, you went from, you know, sort of nothing to £11 million business. But, and I know it's hard to articulate it specifically, but what were a couple of key things that sort of went from, you know, you and your cat to something that is attraction? You know, was it timing? Was it marketplace? Was it your skills? Combination of all? To sort of give us a bit of an insight, because I know there's a lot of people at the moment listening to this that have left corporate that are sort of still with their cat or their dog like I am and really wanting to scale it, and they'd love to get an insight into how you did it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that really helped. One of them, I think, is mindset. I was really stubborn and I was going to make it a success. And what fueled that wasn't, you know, some sort of eloquent mapping or planning process. It was actually a bet made after having too many glasses of wine with a friend of my partner's who was being a little derogatory in, oh, you're going to do a little bit of admin, you know, for your hubby. And I was just like, really? So I took offence to that. And at the time, I'd left a job as an EA to a marketing, to joint directors of a marketing media company. And I was earning £15,000 a year. And so the contractors were you know, to me were just like, you know, earning salary that I wouldn't even be able to comprehend. So they were on £1,000 a week, or some of them were on 1,800 a week. That to me just sounded insane. And so, you know, fueled with a little bit of champagne, I just said to this person, look, actually I'm a partner in this business and I'm going to earn more than you by the end of this year. So we put a bottle of Bollinger on it. And then I woke up the next morning and went, damn, I'm not losing this bet. And then I just went from there. And, you know, it takes grit. You know, you fall over, you fall in the hole, you fall in the hole, you just keep getting out of the hole. And then how do you figure out what the ladder is? I found mentors to help me. I interviewed people in the industry and I said, tell me what you really don't like about agents. So it was a specialist IT recruitment consultancy. And then we niched. You know, we all know that a niche market helps us talk about our message more fluidly in a way that people understand it. So we niched in the investment management, unit trust business sector. So that was a growing market. So that was, you know, good timing. And that was probably by accident because my partner at the time was contracting there. So we created a niche around IT specialization with business specialization. And of course, once you are niched, then you bypass a lot of the gatekeepers and we bypassed all of the tendering processes because no one else was doing what we were doing. And then, of course, once you're in there and you build relationship, people then go, well, you may as well just go on our preferred supplier listing. And we're like, yeah, we may as well. Thank you. So it takes determination. And I worked hard. You know, I was up at 5. I went to the gym. I kept myself fit, healthy and strong. And, you know, exercise has always been an important part of my life. I had downtime. You know, I skydived on weekends. You know, in England, they drank a lot in the 90s. So mm-hmm. I can't drink. I'm really not good at it. So I went skydiving instead and had a much more interesting story to talk to my clients about on the Monday. I had to get over myself. I was 24, you know, with fuzzy blonde hair and all the things I thought that meant. And I thought all my clients were middle-aged men. They're probably only 30, you know, bless them. You know, I had to really deliver. So I found out what does really delivering mean to this client base. I set up relationships. I'm good at setting up relationships. But, of course, if we only set up relationships and don't deliver, we end up with a whole bunch of friends and no business. So it takes grit and it takes work and it takes persistence. And when people tell you to get lost, I remember I was, you know, on the phones, it was the days of cold calling, you know, you pick up the phone. I used to have people telling me to literally F off, I can't, I don't want any more agencies calling me. So I just become more determined to get business out of that person. You know, right. You just don't give up. People love the overnight success story. You know, there is none.
No. And I know that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of our listeners have done a lot of the hard yards within corporate, you know, so similar thing that you did, but they weren't the person that got the benefit of £11 million business, but they often did that. And I know I was one of those people, you know, an entrepreneur within a large corporate, but you know, you worked your long hours, etc. But now you're at, you know, for a lot of our listeners sort of in your mid-40s and you're, you know, it's nearly like your second attempt. It's your second life in a way. For you personally, with your business, we're going to find out a little bit more of, have you still got that grit and that determination? You know, do you have to work the hours that you did when you first started that business to make your current business successful? I'd really like to get an insight into, you know, whether that's similar or different now, given the fact that, you know, your current business is obviously a lot different to what you started back then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's the landscape for how we work has changed. There is no job for life anymore. You know, the constant amount of change that people in organisations face, the reinvention, you know, having to pivot and look at, you know, different ways to do what we do to stay relevant, that's there for all of us, not just for the corporates that we work in. So how do we hone our skills? I think people get very fixated on job titles, whereas my focus is how do you want to live? What's the skills and capabilities that, you know, what's your expertise? You know, 10 years in corporate, you've got a lot of expertise. So if you take the corporate away, what have you built in who you are? What have you built in skills and capabilities? in who you are. Bring all of that to your role, and that's exciting. And for me, it was easier this time around in some ways, but in some ways I also had a break, one foot on the brake and one foot on the accelerator. So it was very different for me starting this one up. I was really hungry when I was 24. I was out to prove myself. When I sold my company, I didn't have to prove myself anymore. So I didn't have the same fire. However, I had a new fire, and it was no less hungrier, but it was really embedded deep in purpose and passion and wanting to make a difference. And the best thing I loved about my role in recruitment was helping people find work, especially the people that nobody wanted to help because they were too hard. You know, I got immense joy out of doing that. So I'm very values driven back then, however, didn't realize, and you know, very conscious of that now. We moved to Australia, so I had 17 years in London. We moved to Australia. I sold my business in 2000. I started my coach training in 99, so I was preparing for this. And I did the work to have me ready to transition into my next career life role. But I packed everything up. I sold my house. I sold my business. I just changed everything about my life. So for a while there, it was like, you know, dancing on a tectonic plate. However, when I set this up in Melbourne, again, I didn't know anybody. Well, that doesn't bother me because I've done that before. I had history of that. But also we decided to have a family. So in 2003, my daughter was born. So in 2002, we were lucky enough to fall pregnant. And then I had two children, sadly lost two in between. So I decided to play the long game on this business, not the short game, and build skills, capability, hone a place for myself in the market so that when I was ready to leverage that, I'd have history. So I just coasted for the first couple of years, took some good projects, and probably, for a while they just covered childcare. And that was okay for me because that's what I wanted to do.
Great. And if you go to now, so if you walk into a party and someone says, okay, Pollyanna, what do you do? How do you answer that?
Sometimes I'll just say I'm an executive coach and leave it at that. I judge the energy of the person. Are they asking because they want to know, or is it just a practiced, hey, I don't know you, so I'll ask you a question? And both good. We all need an opening to talk to somebody new. So sometimes I'll just say an exec coach and the conversation sort of moves on. People may ask more. I know that doesn't really come close to the depth of the work I do. However, you're at a party, I'm happy with that. And sometimes I just say I'm really, really blessed to do two jobs, to have two businesses I love. So I have two businesses that I run. And so I have my coaching practice and I have a side hustle. And it's interesting, that one will often create more curiosity because, I'm a mom, I've got two kids, investing in them, my relationship with my partner, my husband, and also I have two, I've just started up another business recently. So that ignites a little bit of curiosity, but I think keep it simple. We get a little bit overexcited about the elevator pitch and try and be too clever. So what ends up happening, and I went through all of that, the clever sort of elevator pitch that I worked on really hard, and people just, their eyes glaze over.
Yes.
So just keep it simple. What do you do? What's the most boring? Matt Church, one of my mentors, often says, what's the most boring way to describe what you do? Just use that. I'm like, you're right.
Right. And what's the side hustle?
The side hustle is based on a health and wellness project. I was very sick for a long time, for 11 years, and I healed through natural means, and it was really hard. It was like pushing, bricks up a hill, and I got there. And then last year I discovered something that has just changed my world, and it took me over the hump of exhaustion to being able to, live my life in a more meaningful way. So I call it, I've gone from surviving to thriving, and just feel compelled to share it with people. So I did that.
Great. And what's the way that you are sharing that with people?
I'm sharing it with people via, I've got an event coming up on the 5th of August, if anyone's interested, in Camberwell in Melbourne. I'm delighted to welcome you, so you can get in touch and I'll share that with you. So I'll do presentations and talks, and I just tell people, I was talking to you about it earlier on, I just tell people about this is something that's changed my life, and I've done a lot of research in the past 11 years around how can we sustain ourselves healthy and well in a natural way. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I think I mentioned to you earlier on, Paul, when I broke my humerus, which wasn't very, 4 years ago, I was very grateful to the man in 1906 who invented morphine. Thank you very much, you know, because I needed it. However, I don't want to be on morphine for the rest of my life. So I felt the same about the pharmaceutical options that were available. I didn't really want to be on those for 20, 30 years, because it would have been get on them, stay on them. And that's just not the future I wanted. And health and well-being is really important to me. I was working with one of my beautiful teams and one of my corporates. And I just said to them, look, shall we? I booked the next session at the Alfred, because that's where everyone's going to be unless, you know, some basic self-care starts happening within this team. You know, we can't work without sustaining ourselves. Self-care, the clue is in the words self-care. You know, it needs to be up to us to be responsible for our own health and well-being.
Yeah, and just look, I think that's a brilliant point. And a lot of people listening to this podcast are still sitting in corporate, and unfortunately a lot of them do deal with some form of mental health and the impact that that's then physically have on them. What's some advice you'd give them? You know, you coach people all the time in these environments. What's some advice other than, you know, book yourself into the hospital that you can give as sound advice?
Yeah, and that wasn't advice. That was a bit tongue-in-cheek. You know? Yeah, so, but look, I think, first of all, it's really basic. This is not rocket science. Go to bed early a couple of nights a week. If you feel, if you're drinking wine or beer or some sort of alcohol every night, have some alcohol-free days. Go for a walk. You know, it's not that cold in Melbourne. So put your trainers on and grab your partner and do a walk and talk. And if you haven't got a, you know, maybe you've got a furry friend and take your dog for a walk, or take your neighbour's dog for a walk. Or, you know, when I get together with my girlfriends, we'll often do a walk and talk instead of sitting in a cafe and having a coffee. So get some basics down first. It's what your granny told you. Go to bed a couple of nights a week before 10 o'clock. Look at your self-deception, you know. I had one client say to me, oh, yeah, but, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead, love. And I'm like, you'll be dead sooner. You know, if you, you know, we know the stats around, you know, that sleep when I dead, that's a narrative that doesn't belong in our lives anymore. You know, it's your lifespan is shortened when you don't get decent sleep, when you don't regenerate. Unplug. The best way to unplug for people who have children is tell your children they're not allowed on their iPads after 8 o'clock at night. And then you have to monkey see, monkey do. So you do that yourself. Eat well. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy, you know, other foods and go out and have a lovely glass of something. But how about just in the morning, just add a green juice. You know, just add something nutritious into what you're doing. None of this is rocket science, but we don't make time to do it because we like to deceive ourselves. I was speaking to someone yesterday and they said, I'm so unhappy in my job right now. I said, so what's keeping you there? You know, it's, you know, so really getting honest with ourselves and understanding where we're blaming others for where we're at, when actually when we take responsibility for ourselves, the decisions we make, how we live our lives. I was talking to another client recently and the client was telling me that, you know, they really loved their wife and kids and, you know, but then I said, but how does that resonate with the fact that you're in the office at 7 a.m. and you're home at 7 or 8 p.m. Now, I know this client really well, so I like to bring a bit of humour into my coaching. I think I'm funny, even if they don't. But, you know, that's, you know, then you're looking at your second, third marriage, you know, with another set of children who don't know you. Mm-hmm. Is that the life you want to live? No, it's not. So looking at, you know, I understand that we have restrictions. I understand that we have financial commitments. However, you know, not creating space and time to regenerate is foolish, because that will make you sick.
Yeah, look, I think it's, you know, it's so powerful. And to be honest, that's why I started Build, Live, Give, for to help people make that transition, no different to me. And I sort of liken it as a, in a bit of a biblical sense, you know, there was Saul and then there was Paul. And for me, there was sort of that. I always had my corporate life, whereas where I was one of those intense, hardworking, type A people that, you know, was family orientated, but to a degree, whereas now, completely opposite. And there are pressures of running your own business, and that's why we've created the community to help it. But there is more to it. And yesterday I spoke to a lady where, you know, she was saying, look, I need help with this, with my business, because my husband has got terminal illness and I need to make sure that, you know, the family survives post his passing. And I thought, having those conversations and helping people like that, that's why, you know, I sort of left corporate and why I do what I do. And, you know, if you're out there and you're unhappy, you know, there are options, and, you know, there'll definitely be links to Pollyanna so you can get some help from her, but there's also some, you know, lots of other great people out there to help you. But I think your points around the basics are great and really sound advice. And sort of for you, we've articulated in a way, but who are sort of your ideal clients? Who are the people that you normally work with on a day-to-day basis?
I am so lucky, Paul. I've got the most beautiful clients. I love my clients. And one of the things I did very early, look, I'm a coach, you know, I do the work. So one of the things I did really early on before I created my coaching practice all those years ago was I mapped out my ideal client. And I revisit that, because the scope of the work I do now is very different to the scope of the work I did when I first started out. So I map out my ideal client, and I know, you know, I reflect on what a less ideal client would look like. So I'm really clear about the people I work with, and that's integrity. Because if, for example, if you take a client on and you know that you're not going to work well together, that's, you know, disrespectful to that client. You know, how are we ever going to give our best? I learned that lesson actually really early on when I was still in my early 20s. I think I was still pretty young in the recruitment game back then. So it must be, maybe I was about 25, I was about a year in. And a very senior person in a merchant bank rang me up, and he had a team of my people. So he had about 8 network support contractors through me. And he rang up and he said, I want to take, you know, Joe Bloggs, direct, and there's nothing you can do about it because we are, and you mentioned the company name. And he was so rude, and I was so intimidated at the time, and yet I was so outraged that someone would do that. You know, it's dishonest, and honesty is a really important value for me. And he said, there's nothing you can do about it because we are really big and you are really small. And he hung up, and I was so shaken, and I went, absolutely screw this, no way. So I rang him back, and he let it go to voicemail. So I just said, thank you for your call. You're in breach of contract. However, I know that doesn't mean a lot to you, but I know it will mean a lot to your CFO. And I mentioned CFO by name, because I think understanding, this person who I'd hadn't met, but you know, there was media on him, understanding this person, they would be really concerned about how you're operating. And in the finance world, honesty and integrity is a really important part of your brand. My next phone call is going to be to your CFO. And I hung up, and I just hung up gently because I wanted to slam the phone down, but I thought, no, be an adult. I got a phone call back 30 seconds later begging you not to call your CFO. And, of course, the contract would stay with us. But he had threatened. It was almost like that old school Hollywood, you'll never work in this town again. I'm like, love, it's London. It's a big town, you know, really. And that changed something in me, Paul. Because now I think I can't give my best unless I'm working with people who are my best. And actually, eventually, I'd made the decision I didn't want that person as a client anymore. However, I didn't lose my contractors because they were let go from the organisation, not anything to do with me, but there were other practices that the person was doing that were less than desirable. So I didn't have to go to the CFO. Another client in the software house wanted to negotiate our rates down really low. And I just said to them, if you squeeze my rates to such a degree, I'm just not going to enjoy working for you because I'll feel squeezed. And again, good learning at a young age. So a client is a client that you just jump out of bed for and go, I can't wait to go work with that person today. That's my ideal client. And I know who they are. There's a really great book called Book Yourself Solid by Michael Port. So if you haven't read that book, it's a New York Times bestseller, so I'm sure probably most people have. But, you know, go get it again and do the exercises. Find out who your ideal client is and then go get them. And then have a respectfully refer people on that you think you may not give your best services to, or maybe you haven't got the right skill set for. You know, there's enough work out there for all of us, so have a good network that you can refer on to as well.
Yes, look, sound advice. And I think, you know, the huge benefit of working for yourself and having your own business is that you can make those decisions a lot easier. I think back in corporate, it was harder, I found, to make those decisions. But in your own business, it's a lot easier, but people struggle with saying no. But yes, in our community, that's our number two driver for growth, is defining your ideal client and saying no to the wrong client. So I think that's wise words. And as far as, you know, your unique value prop, I know that you're, you know, oozing wisdom through this podcast, but when you look at, there's a lot of executive coaches, particularly, you know, in Australia, what is so unique or different about the way that you go to and do what you do, Pollyanna, versus others?
Well, you know, there's a half of the assignment that goes, well, actually, no, I do great work. Am I unique? I can name 5, 6, 10 colleagues that are popping into my mind right now who are awesome. You know, when my father was passing away last year, I had to hand over a ton of work that I'd worked hard to get. And I was so happy to have trusted, awesome colleagues in the industry that are providing just as much great value as I am. So am I better than them? Absolutely not. We do good work. What I think what makes me attractive to my clients is I have a suite of offerings around developing high-performing cultures, high-performing teams process that gets a measured uplift of 25% minimum for the clients I work with. You know, I do the one-on-one coaching, I do the group coaching, I speak, I do facilitation half day, full day. So, you know, throw one in a room and get some stuff done. I run leadership programs and I have my Women's Success series of programs. I write books and I write for Smart Company, as I think you do still, don't you? You know, plus I do guest spots like this. So what is my unique value proposition? I bring all of what I have into what I do. And my clients benefit from that. So I'll coach, mentor, I'll facilitate, I'll train. And I bring all of that in and I get results, you know. So, and there are other people who do the same.
Great. And your greatest source of new business, how do you get new clients?
My greatest source of business is referral. I often say to my clients that I'm not really into one-night stand client relationships, and I tend to have long-term relationships with my clients. So repeat work from the clients that I have, which is amazing, because then I get to provide even more value because I get to know them so well and get to know their organisation so well and the company so well. I think that's probably the main referrals. And, you know, I pick the phone up and I call people. I utilise LinkedIn a lot. LinkedIn's great. You know, that's a really good LinkedIn profile, and, you know, actually utilising LinkedIn and managing your requests that come in, and, you know, I filter those so I understand why people are connecting with me. And then I can follow up. So they're probably the main three.
Great. And just one tip, if you had one tip on your learnings on doing LinkedIn outreach, what's one really valuable tip?
Really valuable tip, I think, is get a good LinkedIn consultant to help you with your LinkedIn profile. I did that. That was incredibly helpful. So I don't know. Is that a service that you offer, Paul? I can't remember.
Look, we've got several partners that we refer people to. So I don't do it myself, but we've got some great partners that do it. There's Bonnie Power and there's others that that provide that service.
Great. So you utilize it. It's really good. And my husband, who left corporate and is a CFO of a startup, you know, I did a complete number. We got him to do a complete number on his LinkedIn as well. So have a relevant LinkedIn profile. You know, engage with your people. Help them out, you know. pay it forward. You know, if you know people in your network are looking for work, find ways to help them. Comment on articles, post articles that are relevant to your network. Be engaged in the process. And when somebody sends me a LinkedIn invite, so please, if you're listening, do say, "Hey, I know Paul." Then you'll get my EA Seth, who I have through Paul. And she'll send you a thanks for connecting. And we find that people connect for one of three reasons. And we list those reasons down. And people say, "Well, I connected for this reason." And then at least I know I can have the relevant conversation based on why they're connecting. Are you connecting just because I keep popping up on your feed and we got, you know, zillions of people in common? Are you connecting because you're interested in the services I provide? Or are you connecting because you want to share your services? So I start to stream and think consciously about how I interact and engage with my LinkedIn people and add value, you know, put your expertise up there. I think that's really important as well. And Paul, I've got to say, you know, you have helped me scale. Two things have significantly helped me scale my coaching practice and my consulting practice here is your mentoring and support with your VA services and how that was all set up. That completely transformed how I worked because I got into some very bad habits working on my own for such a long time. And I also, I'm part of a thought leader community and that has also transformed my thinking. So I'm very grateful to the work that we've done together and that we still do together.
Yeah, that's great. And, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but when we first met, I don't think technology was your friend. As another statement, I think, you know, I'm probably the opposite where, you know, sometimes I get confused by so much technology that I forget the essence of what I'm doing. And I think, you know, you may be the, when we first met, sort of the other, you know, you just had an eloquent way of getting to the heart of the issue, but it was like, well, hang on, how can we make this easier? And with the VA, I know your frustration where, you know, there was a lot of people just saying, just go and get a VA, and there was all these poor experiences and also people that were taking advantage of VAs. And I know for you, it was really important to work with a company that was, you know, had high values, really treated their team well. And it was brilliant working with you. I no longer have the VA business, as you know. I've sort of now used a lot of partners because with my health, I couldn't travel to see my team. And I thought that was really important. But I know you still got Seth. And just to see you coming along and each week on a Monday, Seth gives me an update on, you know, what's happening with you. And I can see that, you know, having your side hustle, having your core business that's going really well, I think, you know, having Seth and the technology has allowed you to do a lot more and be a fantastic mum as I know you are. So it's really inspiring for me to see that journey. And, you know, I think there's a lot of really highly intelligent people out there that do too much themselves. And, you know, sometimes it's just a couple of tweaks around getting a really good VA and getting the right technology that can make a difference.
Absolutely. So my calendar beeped then. Apologies. Look, it really does. And it did transform and continues to transform how I work. So it's a terrific partnership, but I'm laughing, Paul. You were being so kind. I was a disaster. Someone said to me the other day, I sent them an audio file for something and they went, "Oh, Pollyanna, you've always got the funky apps and all the technology." And I'm just laughing, going, "Can I record this and send that to Paul?"
Yeah, and look, the key thing is for you not to, you know, get absorbed in it yourself. Like, you know, you're still Pollyanna, you know, you're brilliant at what you do, but you've got a VA now that sort of makes, you know, light work of all that technology. So I think that's where that partnership is fantastic. And as far as, you know, some of your other daily habits, you know, what are some of the things that help you be so successful in lots of ways, Pollyanna?
Well, know who you are and know what you're about, know what you're going to say no to. That is something that's really key to me. I get up in the morning and I exercise. I get up, I'm an early riser. I like to, you know, get up in the morning. And, you know, sort of wind down towards the evening. So I get up, I exercise. So, you know, morning routines, rituals, I think are really important. And sometimes I don't want to. So, you know, you play the game. I pay my personal trainer 10 sessions in advance. And to make sure I go, I buddy up with somebody else. And if we don't turn up, then the other person has to pay full price. So you don't want to do that to your buddy, do you? So, you know, I have some hacks in there to keep me honest with that. And then I, you know, stay productive. I've got a stand-up desk about 6 months ago. And that's changed my world. I know it sounds crazy, but so I stand all day now. That's awesome. You know, so that's made a real difference to my productivity. You know, so that's been really helpful. And, you know, all the, you know, the hacks that you've shared with me and the, I don't know, I write a lot of blogs, so I use Rev a lot. And so that's, you know, you just speak your blog and then you send it off and it gets transcribed for $1 a minute. I mean, what an awesome service. So I can walk home from walking the kids to school and, you know, I've written my blog and there it is in my inbox for me to, you know, just tidy up or to go, oh my God, what was I thinking? And then rewrite it depending on the day. So, you know, I think the technology piece, which I was very frightened to, you know, technology scared me a bit, which is crazy considering I built an IT recruitment consultancy. But, you know, I wasn't a technical person, as you know. So, and, you know, the other thing is, you know, just get on with it. You know, confidence is overrated. I was mentoring someone this morning that has a really prominent profile in the stunt world in Hollywood and had won lots of awards and, you know, awesome human being. And, you know, talking about confidence, I'm going, forget about confidence. You know, you don't need confidence. You just need process, structure. Just do it. Just do a little bit of something every day. And then the confidence, you know, good old philosopher Kevin Costner says, you know, build it and it will come, or they will come. So the confidence comes later. Nothing good in life ever happens waiting for confidence to come first. It's a little bit like waiting for a train that hasn't been scheduled.
Great advice. And I know Sean, your partner you mentioned before, has gone out into his own startup now, but if Sean was listening, and hopefully Sean will listen to this podcast, what would you love to say to him about the support he's given you through this journey of running your own business?
Yeah, so I love that Sean's you know, doing this. He's not, it's not his company. He's working for a startup and he's loving it. Sean has always supported me, even when he doesn't really know what I'm doing, because he just knows I'm happy and I'm doing it. He also, I'm really grateful for how he challenges my thinking, which sometimes may not in the moment seem, because I haven't got a poker face, may not feel like I'm grateful, but I am actually eternally grateful. He's helped me be a lot more structured. So he's a very left brain thinker, probably similar to yourself, Paul. Asks the curly questions, you know, so that's been an incredible support to me. So a good sounding board and having someone that doesn't, you know, that is happy for my happiness in what I'm doing and always supportive about whatever project I'm on. However, we'll ask, you know, those tough CFO questions. And, you know, whenever I'm running a program or meeting someone, I go, right, Sean, what are the naysayers in the room going to say to me today? And he will go, oh, well, in this program, if I was sitting in the room, I'd say this, 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 and this. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, so it really helps me prepare by bringing in a different lens. And we know that diversity makes the world better. So that's a really, you know, he brings that to my world.
Brian, and the next question is around the give section, which is a cause or a community that you're passionate about and why.
I love the work that Fitted for Work do because it's a Melbourne-based, actually it's a global organisation, and there's a Melbourne-based arm of it here. So if anyone's got great clothes, that's where you take them, or only your good quality stuff. And what they do is they help prepare women who are experiencing disadvantage to be work ready, and they do that with a variety of programs around interview skills and helping them, you know, feel more ready to present themselves, you know, seek employment and go for the interview. And they do a beautiful service where women go in and they get styled for the day. I mean, who doesn't love a good pamper? I think both men and women enjoy that. They go in and they get outfitted. They're given two really good quality outfits, head to toe, you know, accessories, clothes, shoes, handbag or briefcase, everything that they need. They get two full good quality outfits styled to suit their body shape, them. They walk out feeling $1 million. That's a good way to start towards your new future. So please, you know, if you're going to give any money away this year, go give some to them. They provide a vital service for the women in our community who are doing it a bit tougher than we are.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely have the links to Fitted for Work in the show notes. And the last section is the action section, and this is a little different. It's a little short and punchy questions and answers just to leave our listeners with some real action. So the first one is, what are your top three productivity tips?
get on with it. You know, seek out your self-deception and then just do the opposite. Confidence is overrated. You know, if you have to make, you know, 50 calls that day, then do it in the morning and just get on with it. Once you're in the rhythm, it'll flow. So I think people get a little bit too concerned about, you know, the focus can be skewed. You go, well, I want to focus on being motivated and engaged. Yeah, don't worry about that. Just get into action and the motivation and engagement will come. So they're probably my top ones.
And I know we talked a little bit about this, but your favourite apps or things that you use now on your computer to help you? I know you mentioned Rev before, but what are some others?
All the ones that Paul's recommended, I use those. So just, you know, Paul, give them a list. I use all the reps, that you've said. Rev, I really like Rev. I use my notes on my phone a lot. And TurboScan. Have you got TurboScan? That's awesome. Mm. Love TurboScan. That really saves me a lot of time. They're probably the main ones. And then I just steal whatever you're using.
Great. Well, I'll have a link of our most current in the show notes as well, so other people can do the same. And as far as a book or a podcast, what's something you'd recommend and why?
Oh, my favourite book ever to recommend anyone who's in a relationship with another human being is a book called Leadership and Self-Deception, and it's by the Arbinger Institute. And then their follow-on book, An Anatomy of Peace. If you haven't read them, you must read them, Paul. They're fantastic. I love anything by Brené Brown and her work around vulnerability, and you can get that, obviously, TED Talks and et cetera. There's a fantastic book by a lady called Dr. Phyllis Lindell called How to Say It for Women. I think that's a really great book, not just for women, but for men and women. So I love that. Jeanine Garner, a Sydney-based author, has a book called It's Who You Know. I really like her work. She's a colleague in the industry. I think that's fantastic. And, you know, anything that you pick up that you that gives you value, I think is great stuff to read.
Brand, and we'll also have the link to your book as well within the show notes. And just some parting advice, Pollyanna. What parting advice have you got for our community?
Just live, ask yourself, how do I want to live? And is what you're doing enabling that or disabling it?
Brilliant. And very much on theme with Build, Live, Give. So we'll definitely have all the links in the show notes. We'll also have Pollyanna's LinkedIn profile, and she said she'd love to reach out or engage. And you can see her LinkedIn sequence, which is working extremely well in full action. And also we'll get the event details as well, Pollyanna, because I think what you're doing around that natural health space is very interesting. And I think, you know, the live component of Build, Live, Give, it really resonates strongly with that. But you're a wonderful person. It's been fantastic to see your transition and journey working with you as a client, and also, you know, just in the community, whether it's Thought Leaders community or the general broader executive coaching community, I know that you're seen as a true leader, and you've shared so much wisdom today on the podcast. So I really want to thank you for that. And wish you a great day.
Thank you so much, Paul. And thank you so much for all the support you've given me, which is, you know, a thank you seems so small. You've done so much for helping me work more productively. I'm very grateful for that. I'll also send you a link to a Women's Success workshop I'm running here on the 1st of June. So if there are any female leaders listening that would love to come along, come play.
Oh, brilliant. Great. Thanks, Pollyanna.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Corporate Escapees podcast, brought to you by the team at Build, Live, Give. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it with other corporate escapees. If you would like to join a community of like-minded peers, please visit www.buildlivegive.com. Until next time, thanks for listening and be brave.